This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Dory's Fastest 15, brought to you by me, Brandi Cruz, filling in for Dory today. Nice to be here. Nicole, you stacked this one. We got so many good Fastest 15 stories. As fast as I go through them, I don't even know if I can get to them all. You also have someone here that I don't really understand, and so I'm going to...
oh, interesting. Okay.
Something about it. Well, let me just ask you about it now. What's a She-Ra?
Oh. Really?
I don't know what that is.
Okay, we have there's a tiny age difference between us, and it is just the perfect amount
I wouldn't call it tiny.
Whatever. it's He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, which was a cartoon when I was young.
Okay, I've never seen
She-Ra was the female heroine, I guess.
Okay, we'll get to that story, but it was just on here, and I'm like, I'm going to act like I know what that is, and then
we'll
put
tell you
spot.
More
because I don't know. In case you haven't heard, a judge in Texas has struck down Biden's student loan forgiveness. This was not a surprise. And I obviously the Biden administration expected there to be some legal challenges to student loan forgiveness as well. And there were several of them. So it's been temporarily halted. There was one lawsuit that was led by kind of a combined six Republican states. I don't know if the Biden administration, what I think they thought is, let's announce this free gift of taxpayer funds pre-election and then just come what may post-election. I honestly wonder how hard Biden will even push for this post-election, because I just think that it was, well, I think it was an election ploy. But we know that there's about 40 million Americans who could, quote unquote, benefit from the forgiveness. That doesn't include people who would definitely not benefit from it, and it would be punitive for them, which, of course, would have forgiven up to $10,000 in student loans for most borrowers, but $20,000 in student loans for certain borrowers. And so, this isn't going to happen. I had to laugh, though. There was this have you guys talked about this on the air? Can we revisit this? There was this study done about how student loan borrowers who were going to take advantage of this would spend the money. And I honestly, I can't say I'm surprised. But what's interesting is, so it's not money. They're not going to get a check, right? Because it's just money that would not go back into the U.S. Treasury. So presumably this is trying to figure out what they'd spend the money on that they would have otherwise put toward their student loan payments when those resume, which I believe is going to be January 1st of 2023.
Or in other words, what are you cutting back on that if you have that extra money, which, I mean, I guess it's very small. You pay back student loans in such small amounts monthly. I feel like it's one night out or one, you know, something a month. But
right. Exactly. And so, it depends on how much you want to pay, but it's not like a ton of money every month, and it is not a check that's going to be sent to you
right.
in the mail for 10 grand.
Right, exactly.
So if you're expecting that, you'll be deeply disappointed. But there was a survey done that tried to figure out, okay, what would you do with a little extra cash in your pocket? And not a surprise, 73% of respondents said that they would spend that on non-essential items. And that makes sense, right? Because if you're not spending it, if you're already paying for essential items mm-hmm. already, right? Non-essential items, including travel, dining out, things like booze, eating out.
I don't even
having
believe.
A nice meal.
What'd you say, 73%?
73%.
Yeah, so the other 27% or whatever, I don't believe. They're lying. They would also spend it on non-essential stuff.
Well, what I thought was interesting is, so the same percentage, 73% of respondents, said that they didn't think that that was the right thing to do. So 73% said
they know
that it's not right to be taking this money from other taxpayers, which mm-hmm. is what they're doing,
right.
and to go spend it on food and booze, but they're going to do it anyway,
right?
Mm-hmm. So if you needed any more, you know, legal challenges aside, if you need another reason not to do this and not to follow through with this, because it was pitched by Biden as this thing that would save people, and don't get me wrong, I'm sure it will really help some people who are very worried and under crushing debt. But it was pitched as this thing that is going to rescue people from like the throes of poverty. No, it's going to give 20-year-olds a little more money to go waste on booze.
Right.
$7 tequila shots. They're probably more now. $15 tequila shots. So as for applications that have already been submitted, the Department of Education says it has stopped accepting applications for student debt relief while this is all sorted out in court. But they're going to hold on to the applications that have already been submitted while they appeal the decision. And yes, the administration is appealing the decision. Okay, Nicole, we're going to have to chat about this one. CNN. I was just talking about CNN. Terrible. Oh, and do we have an update on the Arizona governor's race? Speaking of CNN, the Democrats still leading. Katie Hobbs, Carrie Lake is trailing. But anyway, there's a story on CNN. Of course, there was that massive Powerball payout. Do you play the lottery, Nicole?
Occasionally when it gets crazy.
Why not, right?
Why not?
Yeah, even we'll do it sometimes. You know, pick up a couple tickets. If it's like $1 billion.
Yeah, I'm not spending $20 a week on it or anything, but here and there, $20 or $10 or something like that. It's a fun dream, right?
Sure. Yes. Why not?
Yeah.
Well, apparently it's racist. So if the lottery is racist, according to CNN, that means you're a racist for playing it, for sure. That's
Yikes.
The transitive property. That's how the game works. So CNN did this story. Yes, CNN spent time doing a news story on this. It's as if it's completely manufactured out of thin air. Like, what can we call racist today? How about that big lottery
What can we
payout?
Ruin for everybody?
Yes. So apparently CNN says there are some critics, which I imagine they saw one tweet on Twitter and they're like, oh, they're critics calling it racist. Get the press, stop the presses. they say that the lottery system is a form of systemic racism that targets poor black and brown communities across America. So this, of course, comes after the $2.04 billion lottery payout went to someone in Altadena, California. Of course, there's extremely low odds of winning the lottery. But what CNN argues, and make no mistake, they are arguing for the lottery to be racist because this is a manufactured story. They say that state lotteries aggressively market lottery tickets to low-income communities at higher rates. And so misleading them, in their view, to believe that they can get rich quick. Okay. I tend to think that the reason, and I'm not defending, look, there are a lot of people who spend too much of their money on lottery tickets.
Gambling.
And I do tend to agree it's the people who can least afford to do that. Because I think if you're doing well off, you're less likely to go out and hope for some sort of quick payday to turn things around. But I think that's always been true of the lottery. And I think that's also true about gambling. I'm not going to name the casino, but sometimes when you go to the casino late, it's kind of sad to watch people like throwing away their money.
Right.
You know, and it is. So I think we can have a broader conversation about gambling and about, you know, the marketing of lottery, et cetera. But to act like it's some unique idea from CNN that the people who can least afford to spend $20 a week on lottery tickets or scratch-offs are doing it. That's not some unique idea. That doesn't make it racist, okay? And I will tell you, when I go to the casino sometimes late at night, because, yes, sometimes I like to go to the casino, and sometimes casinos have really nice restaurants. We went to one for Dory Monson's birthday.
They do.
A nice steakhouse. And I will tell you, when I went to that casino, I didn't see a bunch of people of color throwing their, you know, last couple dollars away. So I don't really know where CNN is getting this. But so they also say, and this is a phrase that the left loves, is that the lottery is regressive because a lottery ticket costs the same no matter who you are. You could be Jeff Bezos and you're still paying $2 for the same ticket that someone living in poverty is. So the ticket represents a bigger chunk of someone else's income. But here's the thing. They don't have to buy the lottery ticket.
Nobody's forcing it.
Like, I'll tell you how the lottery could be racist. You force black and brown people to buy tickets and then only white people can win it. Yeah, that would be racist.
That would be.
But this is just one of those examples of, it also says, stores selling lottery tickets are more likely to be located in poor communities of every state. I will say, I think that might just be by virtue of that's where gas stations are. You know how hard it is to find a gas station in Seattle?
Right.
It's like impossible. I don't know why that is. I think just fewer people drive. You can walk around, et cetera. And Seattle's a pretty rich city. There's not a lot of gas stations here.
It takes up a lot of land, and you have to have the, you know, the tanks and everything. I don't know.
Yeah. So but I think that's just part of that. That's another problem. It's not like they're locating gas stations in poor communities so they can sell lottery tickets only to poor people.
Right. But I think people are, they're diminishing the value of dreams, right? I mean, it's not that you have to work for this dream or anything, but just that moment where you're in your mind, you're spending the money or you're going through that moment of like what it would be like to win. And it costs $1 or $2 or right. whatever. Like, it's fun. It's fun to dream and let people have fun. And it's not racist to have fun like that. You don't suck the fun out of all of the fun things by calling it racist.
Right. And I think we can bifurcate whether it's a good, whether it disproportionately impacts low-income people, whether they lose their money at a disproportionate race. I think we can bifurcate that from the race aspect of it, because CNN looked back at data from it was like a 1990 back to 1999, and it said that Black Americans and high school dropouts and low-income people played the lottery on a more frequent basis. And again, like, of course, if you're like a high school dropout and you're trying to get money quick, you're like, well, why don't I, you know, throw a couple bucks at the lottery, because that would be a lot easier than, you know, going out and trying to get a higher paying job or whatever it is. So CNN,
and as far as marketing, you market where you sell. And so, you know, the lottery fluctuates. So as it goes up, they're like, let's push it and make sure everybody that knows that buys lottery tickets knows how big the pot is right now, and so you market where it gets purchased.
Yeah.
It's not based on where's the most racist place we can hang this billboard.
Yes. CNN as usual. Okay, moving on. Have you guys seen this viral video of this shop teacher who, my understanding is, they were born a man but identify as a woman?
Correct.
Okay. Wearing these giant fake knockers.
Okay. A lot of people use that term on
the
radio.
What do you want me to say?
No, I like it.
Breasts is fine, I think.
Whatever.
So, and when I say that this person is wearing giant fake knockers, I mean,
they're a watermelon each.
Bigger than that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you took one of those workout balls that some people sit on as a desk chair to get more core exercise, and you shove it up your shirt. Like, if I were to go out dressed as, like, I mean, like, this is like Madea. Like, it's like almost like a caricature of what you think a woman with big knockers would look like.
But these, I think, are unrealistically large.
Yeah, it's ridiculous,
it's
right?
Ridiculous.
It's like if you were to make fun of someone with, you might, you know, caricature. Put up some big, big balloons in there. So this is in Ontario, and it's this male shop teacher who is wearing, and apparently these are prosthetics, but that are sold as like a fetish thing. Like, if, sorry guys, if you want to, like let's say your lover has some sort of fetish for really oversized knockers, you would wear these. And so you can imagine this is a high school. So you can imagine that this is distracting for the students who are in shop class, and they've got this shop teacher wearing these enormous, like, no breasts this size exist in real life. Like, I'm sure of it. And so now the school board, the Halton District School Board, has said, after reviewing its dress code, that this is okay. That this is okay. They said that if they prevent this teacher, Kayla Lemieux, from wearing these giant fake knockers.
And we should also say that they are anatomically correct. They have nipples that
show
through them.
Okay, I didn't know if I could.
There you
yeah,
go.
They are. And it's, you know, it's showing. It's just all out there in the shirt and stuff. That it would result in them having to absorb considerable liability. Like, what, this guy will sue and take them to court if they don't allow him to wear these? And I'm sorry, because I don't know this person's preferred pronoun, so I'm sorry if I'm misgendering him. But I do know it was a male who is wearing these. So the report from the school district said if an employer's dress and grooming standards place more difficult requirements on female employees relative to those placed on male employees, or require female employees to dress in a manner which is more conventional, such standards could form the basis of a discrimination claim under the code. So they're worried that if they tell this teacher, you cannot wear these clown appendages, then the teacher could sue them for discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
But come on. I mean, we're not talking about some person who has these connected to their body and this is what they live with on a daily basis. Like,
and if they do live like that, I mean, your back has got to be killing you.
Well, so yeah. The real ones will weigh a lot more than the prosthetic ones. And so I think it just goes to show, and what's next, right? Like, what are you going to, and I'm sorry, you tell me if I'm getting out of line. I know I host a podcast where I don't have to filter myself. But so what if you've got a male teacher who decides to roll up a towel and, you know, put it up their pant leg every day and go to school like that? You're telling me that, like, where does the line stop? It's ridiculous. Okay.
There's no common sense.
No anymore. Common sense.
I feel like we're
it's
being
so
punked.
Absurd. So, Nicole, this is the one we're going to talk about that you know more about than I. There is new toys in the Toys Hall of Fame.
Well, I thought it'd be a fun question of the day because people love nostalgia.
Yes.
And, yeah, there are some new toys in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. A couple of them I can understand. Light mm-hmm. Bright. That's a great one.
It's a great one.
Classic.
I'm surprised it's not already in
Classic.
There.
Classic. And then a top, you know, you spin the
Again,
top.
Again, can't believe it's not in there already.
Classic. The other one that just got added.
And the Masters of the Universe.
It's something I just found out exists today. He-Man, the Masters of the Universe.
And in Minnesota.
As Nicole was pointing out, it's quite sexist.
I guess. Well, I was just saying they left out She-Ra. I said, where's She-Ra?
But are you asking that because you genuinely care? Because the woke mob should genuinely care that She-Ra is
they
not.
They should.
Nicole, stop giving people
actually,
ideas for things to be offended
by. It is when
by.
I got into that show. My brother watched He-Man, and then they brought She-Ra in, and I was like, okay, I could do this show.
So are you going to now, be
petition.
Angry when you petition? And why don't you actually push for the Toy Hall of Fame to be canceled?
There we go.
Yeah, I might cancel it. All right.
I might. But but I just want a question of the day, text question. What toy do you want to see in the Hall of
Fame? What toy should be in the Toy Hall of Fame? 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-CHIRO. That has been the Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
Their breasts are too big for their legs to carry them.
Oh. Thanks, Andrew. I mean, that's obviously curly.
You didn't have my follow-up to that?
Sorry, no, I just had the drop by.
Oh, good. That was when I was on.
Talking about Barbies, right?
No, John and I was filling in with John Curley the other day, and we were talking about Costco chickens.
Yes, we were.
All right, much more ahead as the Dori Monson Show rolls on. We're going to talk about elections a little bit, the latest results locally. Stick around, Brandi Crews filling in. Welcome back to the Dori Monson Show on this fabulous Friday afternoon. I am so thrilled the election itself is behind us. I just don't want to get started right away on the 2024 presidential election. It's going to be a long 2 years. And in the midst of that, we have a Seattle City Council election with 7 seats up. We never get a break. Why did I choose to be a political commentator and not like, I don't know, I could have been a reporter on doggies. I said on Twitter the other day, I wish I could be a Costco influencer.
That does sound like a pretty awesome job.
Costco, if you're listening, I'm a big fan. I love Costco and I talk about it all the time. In fact, the other day, John Curley told me to stop talking about Costco because I had said it too many times. So Costco, if you're listening, I'll retire from politics.
I am a single person. There's really no need for me to shop at Costco.
You don't need a need.
At Costco a lot.
I used to be really judgy when I moved in with my now fiance. He went to Costco and I was the same way. You know, I lived in a small Seattle apartment. I was like, where would I put, 100 rolls of toilet paper? And so I was a little judgy at first and then I went with him. And now if he ever goes without me, we might as well call the wedding off, to be honest, if he ever goes without me. Quick on the text line, we were talking in the Fastest 15 about new toys like Light Bright and what was the other one? The top, like a little spinner that are going into the Toy Hall of Fame, and we asked for your suggestions. I'll be honest, we didn't feel like checking whether your suggestions were already in the Toy Hall of Fame. So you might be suggesting something that's already in there. Let's see. The suggestions we got on the text line, 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-CHIRO, is the Etch-A-Sketch. I bet that's in there. Silly Putty. It just picks up everything.
Oh, I loved it.
Okay.
Put it on newspaper back in the day.
The they-them potato head. Nerf football. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Bob. I'm sorry. That's what my wife said to say. Bob needs to be in the Toy Hall of Fame. Is Bob a toy or is that text from Bob? Stretch Armstrong. That's a good one. Lawn darts. Isn't lawn darts a drinking game?
I think people have made it a drinking game.
The only lawn darts I've ever known is a drinking game. Let's see. Nintendo 64 should be in the Hall of Fame.
Isn't that funny? I think that shows the generational differences, right?
Yeah. And then someone said, we're talking about She-Ra, which was what? Hulk's like side chick? Who was She-Ra?
He-Man's.
He-Man's like lady.
She was like a
late
ad. Yes, yeah.
We got a text saying I had a major crush on She-Ra.
Most people did.
I'll have to look up a picture because it's not ringing any bells to see if She-Ra was someone who was worthy of having a crush on.
I would put in there troll dolls. Did you collect troll dolls?
Yeah, with the little gems for belly buttons,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
Well,
you could...
I mean, they went far beyond that. I mean, I still have a bin, I think, at my parents' house. I thought they might come back and my nieces might want to look, but no.
You know what we played with? We played with Lincoln Logs.
Yes.
Yes.
That's very
Andrew
old
gave me
school.
The thumbs up. Listen, we were an old school family. I lived in the middle of nowhere.
It's gone cross generations.
Yeah. That's do they still lasted. Play with? So we went from like Lincoln Logs to Kinects.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because Kinects were like, you know, the new age. So we'd play with Lincoln Logs at home. And then when we went to my cousin's house, we'd play with Kinects.
Yep.
And then we also dabbled in Legos because who didn't dabble in Legos, right? Yeah, those were good times.
I know.
You know, kids, I think I can fix every problem in America if we take their video games away and just give them some Lincoln Logs.
Yes.
Wholesome
All
entertainment.
Sorts of toys. My Little Ponies back in the day.
Yeah, My Little Ponies. Oh, one more.
Strawberry
I'm sorry.
Cake.
I know you don't listen to this to hear us talking about our favorite toys. What were the Polly Pocket?
Yes,
Polly
Pocket.
Oh, you'd open up like a little thing and there'd be a little tiny water slide in there that you could, Polly Pocket.
I think it's similar to the LOL dolls now, right?
You know the one toy, I don't know if it's a toy per se, but that I went to find the other day was a Caboodle.
Oh, those are still out.
So Caboodles,
Nordstrom Rack
any
has those.
Woman listening will know what a Caboodle is. And men, I'm telling you, if your wife is between 33 and 45, for Christmas, get her a Caboodle. Google it online.
Really?
Because I think
you want
always,
a Caboodle?
You're always looking for that nostalgia.
Uh-huh.
And so I was looking. I also, one thing women will know is your makeup graveyard. So we all have a makeup graveyard where it's like all the makeup products that we bought and then either never used or are half used, they all accumulate. So the other day, before my fiance got upset at the amount of, you know, crap in our bathroom, I was like, I'm going to organize my makeup graveyard. And so I was like, you know what I need? I need a Caboodle. So I looked for one, couldn't find one, and I ended up just I couldn't find one in the store. And so I ended up just getting an organizational thing that isn't a technical Caboodle. But man, I'm telling you, you get your lady, I mean, get her something else too, because these are like $20, but get her a Caboodle, you know, a pink one or something like that. And you let us know how she received it. Because I guarantee, get her a Caboodle and then fill it with.
Let's blame Brandy on this one.
No, this is a great. I'm telling you, this is a great. If my fiance got me a Caboodle and then.
Stocking stuffer.
Yeah, you put candy in it.
Oh, that'd be
maybe
cute.
Maybe put a gift card for a massage, but make the Caboodle the vessel of other gifts. She will love it. She will absolutely love it. And as a bonus,
pretty cute.
She'll pick her crap up.
There
so that would be a bonus thing. Okay, quickly, I want to talk about one race in particular in the latest election results. You know, we're waiting for another drop of ballots around 4 p.m. Really the only race of any level of significance. I mean, I don't want to say that any races aren't significant, but we're waiting for results in the 3rd Congressional District with Joe Kent and Marie Perez. Too close to call. He's making up ground. But in the Secretary of State's race, Julie Anderson has conceded. she's done the math and doesn't think she can win, although she's not behind by a lot. She trails Democrat Steve Hobbs by just less than like 2.5 percentage points. And what's interesting about this, I mean, there's many things, but Julie Anderson ran as a nonpartisan. So I think traditionally she has leaned to the left, but she's been the auditor in Pierce County for a long time. She has support from both sides of the aisle. And I thought it was great that Julie Anderson wanted to run a campaign as a nonpartisan and go into what is a really significant office whenever you're running for statewide office and do it, you know, on her merits and on her experience and on her record and without this huge infrastructure of either the Republican or the Democratic Party behind her. I think that I would like to see the two-party system somehow fail and to see more candidates, you know, who are independents, nonpartisans, who are third-party candidates, be able to be successful, because I just think it would be better for the country and better for the actual people these politicians are supposed to serve. But, you know, Julie Anderson, I really believe, would have won had Brad Klippert not run a write-in campaign. And I've been very vocal about that. I know Dory has talked about it as well. And my belief is that Republicans should have got their act together before the primary. You know, obviously, Republicans held the Secretary of State's seat for years, and Democrats have always wanted it. So Kim Wyman got reelected. She leaves for the Biden administration. Jay Inslee gets to appoint someone. He picks Democrat Steve Hobbs. So Republicans pre-primary, they ended up having like 4 or 5 people in the race. And this is what Julie Anderson needed to be able to move forward. She had, you know, Democrat Steve Hobbs, and then Republicans split the vote. They weren't able to get anyone with enough votes to move forward. And so the voter sent Julie Anderson through. And I get that that is frustrating for Republicans who want a more conservative choice for that particular job, given that the seat has been held by a Republican. But look, the damage was done pre-primary. Write-in campaigns are non-starters for statewide office. For a little tiny office, you might be able to pull it off. But when you're talking about needing upwards of 1 million votes to win, getting 1 million voters to write your name on the dotted line, it's impossible. And so, you know, I'm never the one to tell people who they should and should not vote for, whether someone should or should not run for office. But State Rep Brad Klippert, I mean, they had to know going in that this was going to be impossible and that his presence in the race was going to only hurt Julie Anderson. Because I think if you're a Republican voter tried, you know, through and through, you're going to look at, okay, my option is a Democrat or a nonpartisan. Well, I'm going to pick the nonpartisan. So right now, there are 85,000 write-in votes that have come in for that race, which is good, but it's not 1 million. And Julie Anderson trails Steve Hobbs by about 50,000 votes. So if we operate on the belief, which I am assuming is true, that these 85,000 write-ins would have otherwise gone to Julie Anderson, the Republican write-in campaign handed Democrats the Secretary of State's office. Now, that's no reflection from me on Steve Hobbs. You know, Steve Hobbs, to pull back the curtain, the only reason Steve Hobbs got appointed to be Secretary of State is because Governor Jay Inslee doesn't like him. I mean, honestly, that's the reason. Steve Hobbs was one of the only moderate Democrats left in Olympia. And he wasn't hook, line, and sinker for every single thing the Democrats wanted to push. So Jay Inslee, after he failed to get moderate State Senator Mark Mullett out by supporting a progressive challenger, he's like, oh, well, I can pluck Steve Hobbs out of the Senate easy. I'll just give him the Secretary of State's job and make him run for it. So I have nothing against Steve Hobbs. But, I mean, Julie Anderson was the more experienced candidate. I liked that she wanted to run as a nonpartisan. I thought that was very interesting. I thought it could have really shaken things up in Washington State if she would have been able to win. But she didn't, and that's what she's saying. So I hope more candidates do try these big races as nonpartisans. I think it would be particularly good for our political system. And again, kudos to Julie Anderson for attempting to do it. But in her words, her effort fell short. All right, coming up on the Dory Monson Show, Brandi Crews filling in. An MSNBC contributor had something very unwoke to say about a Republican member of Congress, a female Republican member of Congress. MSNBC, how dare you? Much more ahead as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Brandi Crews filling in. Okay, you got me. All right. You got me. So Cole and I were soliciting, and soliciting is a very appropriate word for this conversation. We were soliciting your recommendations for toys that should go in the Toy Hall of Fame. And there was somebody who wrote in that a Bob should. And I was like, wonder what that is. I just read it like Anchorman. Well, apparently.
I thought it was maybe SpongeBob.
We got like 30 text messages it's an acronym for something that is very adult. So you know what? You got me. That's very funny.
It was funny.
It's a swear word.
All right, all right.
Okay, you got me with this one. You know, we all know how much the right hates women. I mean, every Republican, conservatives, they all hate women. Even the female Republicans hate women, according to the left. But I can't help but notice that when it comes to particular women, the left isn't too kind to them either. There was an MSNBC contributor. So Lauren Boebert, who's like the, you know, controversial Republican congresswoman from Colorado's 3rd District, she's hanging on to her seat by a thread. I just looked at the latest results out of Colorado, and there's 99% of votes in. So she might be okay, but she's only she's ahead by like 1,500 votes. Let's see. 1,100 votes. So it is by the narrowest of margins. And Kurt Bardella, who's an MSNBC contributor, he had an idea for what Congresswoman Lauren Boebert could do if she does not win re-election.
What's the meaning if Lauren Boebert, the second most popular QAnon congressperson in MAGA, what if she goes, what if she loses? And what job will she have? Because I don't even think shooters exist anymore. I don't think shooters exist anymore.
Well, I guess it might be a gain for OnlyFans. I don't know what you would do in this scenario, but I think that for symbolically to take out one of the poster childs of the MAGA movement.
Yeah, is that Joy Reid? Laughing.
Yes.
Okay, so basically he's saying that she should go on, if you don't know what OnlyFans is, and sell herself. I mean, some people go on OnlyFans and do other things, but what does he want her to sell? Like, you know, foot pics and stuff like that, which is incredibly degrading. To say that about any woman, whether they're a member of Congress or not, to suggest that if they don't win, they should go start an OnlyFans.
Well, and Joy's suggesting she can't get another job.
Right.
What's she going to do? Oh, she's not qualified for anything.
Right. It's like, okay. So I get really bothered by this narrative that the right hates women. When the left treats women who don't align with them horribly. I mean, you know how many times and how many horrible, nasty, insulting things folks have said about my appearance or whatever it is on Twitter? It's always someone on the left. It's never a guy on the right. It's always some guy who thinks he's like Mr. Woke who's being insulting towards a woman because apparently it's okay if you're a woman who isn't on their team, which I think is just genuinely disgusting. But it also, I think, fits into this other story. If we're talking about people on TV who I don't want to hear anymore, Sunny Hostin on The View, she claims that Michelle Obama was one of the most vilified first ladies in history. Are you kidding me? Do we have that cut? Hold on. Let me play it here. This is Sunny Hostin on Michelle Obama.
Think about Michelle Obama in particular. I think she was one of the most vilified first ladies in history.
No, Eleanor Roosevelt has that.
I think she was vilified for her looks. That's what I'm saying.
Eleanor Roosevelt was vilified.
I don't think it's comparable.
Can I chat on this show?
I think there was a racial component, which is why I think it makes it a little bit more.
First of all, Michelle Obama was beloved. She was on the cover of every magazine. She was beautiful and elegant and well-dressed. Were there some terrible racists who might have said stuff about her? Sure. But you want to compare Michelle Obama to Melania Trump in the court of public opinion and in terms of the media's treatment of them? It is laughable to me that they could say that with a straight face and think that it was even remotely believable. All right, much more ahead on the Dori Monson Show. Brandi Crews filling in. We're going to check the news and then get back to you in the big lead with our top stories of the day.